We shall now read from God's word in Paul's letter to the Philippians in chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and we shall read from verse 12 down to verse 26. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go in living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Amen. And may God bless that reading of his word. Neil is now going to come and lead us in prayer in Gaelic.
Let us pray, Jenny Jumi. Ye grass for the amateur. I had a trough with the steer and the grass, and the steer and the hornstock. Who can the wish walking and cringe? You want to the head, fish, really get best. Christian Tangle, can I'm a source in the pen? Scarasalami Hainer of Oi, Miss Aram, a trahoosh, got 2 years in school. Gosh of all Jerusalem, his castle shes he called. When you're going to be tangled, girls, and there's shes of them, and how you do your business, crushing to the vineyard, give it. No, but give me a year to her. Yea, and if you ask to see, as you're at the Vandal, go and call the hail of my shinnick, and a touch of a nose, and how gals the gun. And if I had a bit years in a true, it's crying on that banner. Kebelupa biasa biasa, home bi biasa. Kebesaran tanam biasa ni hasil ni kerana, hanya bina je hak kita je kulit dunia. Sejak biasa mencari sini, asal tuh biasa keru isi ke segala. Kebesaran dia kebaya kita senet keru. Dia keluar kebesaran biasa tu kecil. Asal biasa kita khusyinnya, entah apa nak dia. Agus gyda rhaeg sy'n yw sy'n tober yn ysgu chi'n bihol. Agus gyda chloi sy'n gynnyn, yn sloi sy'n gyd i yna ch'n eich gleu sy'n gyd bi. Ach na'ch ma hyn yn smol o'r gwrw, gwrw gwrwt, gyda gos gylw sy'n gyn sy'n gyd gyda las. Agus ys yn yn tober, gos gylw sy'n dy hygai fi agus dy lwch gach i hir sy'n. Ys yn piach gylw sy'n yw. Kara sini cin, hanya topper resho. At topper ni beha kejaran, akat segiun itu. Bisa saya nak halus jalrah kuman. Hi sini halus juga. Semadi tak kau ini skragi. Dan drang kudi allah sah. Agus bóan is I déile nachbarin, tá loch go chdí seach. Sgrás a gáis ceartach agus a chdíiste. Mar sin gríhanna tú gíhag, bíist agus an éana a gósa do chdí. Agus cénta do húnan mar lí. Sgrán duch téna go mit I gán. Ag a bér bréar na bheimán. Crúi eis críochan a talán. A chanan agus nach skí. Agus na chudar a hudsir ámd. Sa gyfel a chula cwach gan nefyd ys y tal. Sa'n a nefyn drych ahad. Agus a'n hal o'r stol da chod. Rwch ys yn mas a'n gred I tahalek a chan. Sa gyr yn eich yn y ddeir da hod. Gyr yn gynig yt ar y hwy. Agus gynian yn tahalek yn hal. A da ffeym ta labrst ac yn hwy. Gynig yt ymwch yn anna'n drog. Mae'n gigi wan yn cof, yw eisiau di y troch bydd yw'r gras fawr hyn, a hast bydd y lan sy'n ti ma. Sgaeth cwyd i'r leid dawr na ch gwgwyd go rwychan yn gras. Hwm agos gyfen sy'n troch, sgan am eich sy'n gras ych hwm cwyd a mam ffe, sgwyr o'r sy'n ti'n leid ffe mewn hwn yn hiw. Besig eisiau ffe mewn sy'n nwyd a sbyn nhw. Deir a haid is an a glow. Trí deis a cthíf. Sgar a sin tangir mar senas an a nopid. Chdíoch ni stiap a teis. Gada chdíoch ni siws a nopid. Sgan da gwa bóid. Gada baas a gus hea nopid. Gada sgwyl o bio ag gis lai gana. Gana vidar gwaed ar sa. Sgar a sin tangir mar senas an. A charma wad mwrach go. Sa sin I gira da vianach gud. Na chaini gymys na dyn I sy'n cael graf. Fyw yn ysyn na hwrwn I fi cwmwyd yn le. Y sy'n sy'n ffalais, ddoch o le. Anna mi nach gwrs I gwrs nich yn edrych. Sy'n gyrra dy fianach gorau fer y fel. Sgwrw o'r rhoi'n na cleich I gael. Sy'n gyrra dy fianach gyda cach gyda hen y hwych yw cwm. Sy'n gyrra dy fianach gyda. Na gachys na hewlwys na golymach agos na. Iach gysgach cwm, sy'n sy'n gyr y dyfianach gyr, fydd ffad fer y felat yn Romania ac yn hang. Nid ydw I sa'n dyn, gen y fwlwch o gys ond ydw I gen y fstig ach I, fydd y lom awn, sy'n gyr y gyrw hyn, gan dy gach yn yngh hir. Gys dy gai bianach yn lwch siw. Yn y cwynach oedd nors Marian fer y felu mar yng hi. Sgyrw hyn ca gres gymaius ga dy gach I, Yn yn hir yn iach gyda, sy'n sy'n gyr y dyfianach gyda. Dy hedda fes o'ch a cwmwyd yn iddyn nes gyda. Sy'n gyr y gyrw hyn y tega. Yn sŵrs nid y spirit gan y fi. Neu y cwyd yn geir doch. Bianach y hwys, bianach at fer y fel. Sy'n gyr y dyfianach gyda. Dyfyr hyn as yn hars yn iach. Dy hach gyda naw cwyd y machlis yn o. O ba gyl y set y hwys. Ys hiel ymys at y cwyd, gwrwyd y gywl yn tarwg hwnnw. Ys ag y bych ddiwch y beth fan. Cwyd ych sy'n mor sen yn y drog. Ys ag yn gyr y gyrwb. Dylad ach cyn mag yn dyn hwyd. Dy gwein sŵrs nid y spirit yn y fi. Sioed dy chrws y ges ych di doch. Ach y bydda gwein mae'r hygiau, ys mae'r iest yn ym. Glan sy'n maha, cast sy'n as o'ch ddiste. Gwyn i'ch orneud fe, a chymaeth dyr hoch gyd chyn. Gwysir y ffyrg a chryd. Sgarol tyd maha yn ysgrin nebwn chynt. Yr sgach ddiw. Amen.
We shall sing to God's praise from Psalm 67, singing this time in Gaelic. Psalm 67. I'll read the psalm in English. Lord, bless and pity us, shine on us with thy face, that the earth thy way and nations all may know thy saving grace. Let people praise thee, Lord, let people all thee praise. Oh, let the nations be glad, in songs their voices raise. Thou'lt justly people judge, on earth rule nations all. Let people praise thee, Lord. Let them praise thee, both great and small. The earth her fruit shall yield, our God shall blessing send. God shall us bless, men shall him fear, unto earth's utmost end. A great psalm about God's work in this world. And we shall sing verses 6 and 7, two stanzas in Gaelic. And we shall remain seated to sing.
Sinan virgach talem is gachfoon, johar et troon kupan.
John Murray to come and speak to us about the work of Slavic Gospel Association and to share God's word with us.
Thank you very much, Duncan, for your welcome. It's a joy to know that your minister is in Romania tonight and that I'm here to talk to you about Eastern Europe, and some of your folk are already there doing work and encouraging God's people there. That's just so encouraging indeed. And I want to start by just saying thank you to you for your interest and your prayers and your support of Slavic Gospel Association. I hope to, in a moment or two, if the presentation comes up, I hope to show you a little presentation. But we are coming to our 70th birthday, Next year, 2020, is the 70th year since SGA UK began. And actually, you Scots folk had a hand in it, because when Peter Deinicke, the founder of SGA in America, when he was travelling back and forward across from America to Belarus, to his home country, to share the gospel there, he stopped in Southampton on a number of occasions, and on one occasion met a Scottish doctor, and this Scottish doctor, a believer, was the one who organised his first deputation tour in the south of England, South Wales, and that's how the burden of SGA actually came to be taken up in the United Kingdom and in Ireland here. So we'd like to thank you, Scots folk, for your hand in that way 70 years ago, and we thank you for your continued interest in the work of Slavic Gospel Association. So our 70th birthday next year, and we're looking forward to that and making some plans. But what I want to do this evening is I want to look back a little bit and look forward, and give you some things to praise God for, and also some things that you might take home with you to pray for and to bring before the Lord on our behalf. So these are our four arms of ministry. Perhaps some of you know these very well. Our biblical leadership training, that's our schools, which is the very heart of the work that we do. And the reason for that was because the communists decided they could crush the church by choking the leadership. If they stopped the Christian leaders, then they could destroy the church. And when communism fell, the first cry of the churches was, please help us to train leaders and workers for the different departments in our churches. And so for all of these years, since the early 1990s particularly, but before that even, we've been training leaders in secret during communist days, but then when the wall fell, our whole teaching program developed, not just in Romania, but as you'll see in other countries tonight, particularly in Moldova, which I'm going to talk to you about in detail. And then we have our leadership support. Leaders need support, both financially and in other ways too, and I'll share with you some of the ways in which we've been supporting them. Our Christian literature, which has been part of the work from the very beginning, translating, preparing Christian literature. And so again, I'll be saying a little bit about that. And our crisis response, which is our humanitarian work, where we help widows and orphans and others who are in need. Well, last November, we celebrated our 25th year of work in the little country of Moldova. And we had the tremendous joy of gathering there many of the evangelists and the pastors whom SGA support, and enjoying a weekend together of praise and thanksgiving to God, and a weekend of reports. And it was thrilling to sit and to listen to some of these men reporting on what God was doing in their different corners and different villages and so forth. We had one man, a teacher, who in fact was not allowed to run his scripture union or whatever in school, but through his witness, five of his colleagues, staff colleagues, were converted through his witness in the school. And it's amazing just how God has been using these men and women. So we met together to celebrate in Moldova. And we were celebrating really the variety of work that we do in that place. And you can see something here. I'm afraid I'm going to have to stand in front and just get a thing. The three areas there, the training, the practical support, and also the practical support in terms of both the... Oh, that's lovely. Thank you. That's perfect. Perfect. Training in terms of our schools. Up on the left-hand side here, the pointer unfortunately doesn't work on the screen, but you can see on the left-hand side. And then the practical support in terms of transport. By the end of this year, we will have given out over 60 motorbikes to different evangelists and pastors and so forth. Now, when your minister comes back, your pastor comes back, ask him about the roads that he'll find in Romania and in Moldova, particularly Moldova. The roads are impassable at times, certainly in terms of taking four wheels along. And little motorbikes are ideal to allow our evangelists and so forth to get to places they've never been before. Well, there's a big man in Moldova called Ivan Machinsky, and he's a huge man. He's an ex-wrestler. And when he greets you, he doesn't shake hands, he gives you a hug. And may you feel the hug. He has one of these little motorbikes. I feel sorry for the motorbike. Such a huge man sitting on it. But you know, he says, it's my legs. He said, I can get to places I've never been to before. I can visit villages that have never heard the gospel before. And I can visit my people more often than I was able to. So these are a tremendously practical way of supporting the work. And then study literature, the books at the bottom there. When the students in the Moldova school are finished after their 2 years of training and they graduate, they're given a gift of a little library. And that's like gold dust. You should see their faces. Sometimes you should see their tears when they get this given to them, because they're not able to afford it themselves. And indeed, the books, perhaps they can't source themselves. And so we're able to do that and to present these books to them. And it's the foundation, really, for a lifetime of ministry. And we know that God uses these things. And then our practice support in terms of houses of prayer. If you know anything about Eastern Orthodoxy, they put a tremendous emphasis on the church building. An Orthodox church building, when you go into it, it will be covered with gold-layered icons and so much ornate furniture and all the rest. They put a big, big emphasis on their building. And incidentally, when I say that, you've got a beautiful building here, and may God bless you as you use it for His glory. But it's nothing like the kind of buildings that the Orthodox folk put up. And for an evangelist or a church planter to go into a new village and to try to evangelize people, he has to have a building which is dedicated for Christian work alone. If you meet in a house, a home, these people will regard you as a cult. If you meet in a hall where you eat or you sleep or where other people do other things, they won't accept that. They believe this is not worthy, really, of Christianity. Now, in order to take that barrier down, we need then to provide little houses of prayer, Doma Lichva, they call them, a house of prayer, a church building. And we do that, really. You can see just one little one there. It was opened just last September when I was out, and it was a joy to see not just the building filled, but the front garden filled and the back garden filled with people who had come along, really, for the opening and the dedication of this little church building. And it's such a help in the work of the gospel. Well, in other ways too, we have the practical care of the needy, and there are some interesting photographs there. For up on the left-hand side, this is the House of Mercy in a village, big village called Yablona, and SGA were instrumental in helping to refurbish this place and to provide a place for elderly people who had no one else to look after them. And they have tremendous care there in a Christian environment. Some of them are not believers. Many of them are believers, but some are not. And again, God has been using that in the salvation of souls. We support widows every year at Christmas time, around all together throughout Eastern Europe and Central Asia. We're talking in terms of maybe 800 or 1,000 widows being helped at Christmas time. In Moldova, that would amount to probably 160 or 200 widows being helped. And they get a little gift at Christmas time of £50. Now, you say £50 isn't much, and neither it is. Actually, £50 would just about half fill my car with diesel these days. But for Moldova, it's a little fortune. A Moldovan widow at the moment gets for a monthly pension somewhere around 35 to 50 euros a month. That's a pound to a pound and 50 per day to live on. That's their pension. That's all they have. And so to get £50 at Christmas time helps them to buy their winter fuel, helps them to buy medicine if they need it, helps them perhaps to stock up their larder and so forth. And that has been used greatly again in the salvation of souls, because the local, we send the money out to the local churches and the pastors, and they distribute and report back to us, and they distribute not just to believing widows, but also to widows in the area who are not believers. And as they go, they share the gospel with these people. And we've had many, many widows who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through this very practical ministry to them in the name of Christ. And then our summer camps outside Belch. There's a big campsite, lovely campsite on a lake shore, Sadovo. And again, SGA helped the churches there to purchase this and refurbish it. I saw it in its virgin state. It was an old communist campsite, and it had fallen to rack and ruin. It really was in very poor shape. But it was being offered at a reasonable price, and the churches felt that it should be bought, and we moved ahead together with them and helped them to buy it and to refurbish it. And it's quite amazing to see that place now, where once the principles of communism were taught, the gospel was being taught. Last summer, between 2,500 and 3,000 children went through the camps there. The young people who are here tonight, you'll be very jealous when I tell you this, but holidays in Moldova last through June, July and August. They get 3 months off. So the camp program starts in June and runs right through really to the end of August, beginning of September. And most of the children who go there would be from unbelieving homes. Many of them are orphans as well, and from vulnerable families. And so it's a tremendous opportunity to share the gospel. And then we have an interest in what we call the medical mission. And this operates in both in North Moldova and in South Ukraine, where a team of Christian doctors and nurses give up a Friday evening and a Saturday once a month, or sometimes twice a month, to visit isolated villages and to go along there and to give people free diagnosis, free consultation, free diagnosis, and free treatment and free medicine. These doctors and nurses give their time freely. SGA supports this work by paying for their transport, by supplying the drugs that they need and the other bits and pieces and so forth. And you know, God has used this tremendously in reaching many, many people. People who wouldn't come to listen to the gospel normally, they will come along, and before the consultations take place, there's a gospel meeting. I've been to one of these. I preached to about 60 people, and they each then had a little ticket with a number on it. And they went into the different consulting rooms in the little church building that we were using, and there they had their consultations with the doctors. And there was, on that team, there was a heart specialist, there was a specialist in rheumatology, there was a GP, and there were two or three trained nurses. So this is not an amateur thing. These are professional medics who give their time, and through that, many, many people have been converted. Lives have been saved, literally, in terms of the diseases being caught and problems being picked up and so forth. But even more wonderful than that, we have heard of and know of many who have come to know the Saviour through that medical mission ministry. And then individual health needs. The bottom right there, there's a mother and father and a son in the middle, and the son is Vitaly. And Vitaly, when he was tiny, he was completely deaf. He couldn't hear at all, and his folks were greatly disturbed. He couldn't talk because he couldn't hear, and of course at school he wasn't able to make any progress whatsoever. Well, one of our friends from SGA, and you'll know the name, some of you, William Smiley, William was out, and they found out about this, and William thought to himself, well, I know a Christian audiologist and earpiece specialist back in Belfast in Northern Ireland. And he went back, spoke to this man. The man said, yes, I can make a hearing aid for him if we can get it sorted. So they sent out the wax to put into the ear to get a mould of the ear for an ear mould. The doctor in Moldova had never seen this before, never seen this done before, and he was amazed, you know. But the mould was made, sent back to Belfast. The earpiece, or the hearing aid was made and sent out to Vitaly. And I think it was a very exciting day, one Saturday or Sunday afternoon, when I think Vitaly got his hearing aid in, and his mother spoke to him, called his name, Vitaly, and he turned his head and looked at her. And a wonderful time, really, of rejoicing and so forth. So those are the kind of things that SGA have been involved in. Church planting is a priority in Moldova and in Romania. You come back and talk to your minister, and he'll tell you this. You know, when you're talking to Christians out there and Christian leaders, they're always thinking of advance. How can we plant in another place? How can we make progress with the gospel? In the year 2000, there was one gospel church for every 15 villages in Romania. In 2016, there was one gospel church for every 4 villages. So you see the tremendous advance. And they'll not stop until there's one gospel church in every village in Moldova. So please pray for that work. Now, I'm going to take you a little bit further away, very quickly, to faraway places, Kazakhstan and Central Asia. Some of you will have heard of the Bibles being produced. That project is coming very quickly to its completion, and we hope by the end of this year that the revision of the Kazakh Bible will be completed and be able to be sent out. We have we hit some problems in terms of actually getting a good text and getting the text translated properly. One of the reasons for that is the first Kazakh that we know to be converted was converted just 35 years ago. So if you think about that, where do you get scholars who are proficient both in Hebrew and Greek and in Kazakh to be able to translate accurately from the original languages into the Kazakh language? Quite difficult. And so it's been a slower process than we thought and hoped. But we are hopeful that by the end of this year or the beginning of the next, the Kazakh Bibles will in fact be distributed. 11 million Kazakhs with no proper dependable Bible, because there was a Bible produced in 2010, but it was a poor translation, even though God did use it in the salvation of precious souls. But we're hoping to put this Bible into the hands of a million Kazakhs by producing 100,000 Bibles. Now, if you're doing your maths, you say, well, how do you get 100,000 Bibles to reach a million Kazakhs? Well, Kazakh families are extended families. And so under one roof, you'll have granny and granddad, and nana and papa, and mommy and daddy, and maybe six or eight children or more. So to put a Bible into one home has the possibility, the potential of reaching 10 to 12 people in that home. So pray for that. There are 11 million Kazakh speakers in Kazakhstan. Pray that God will reach them with this. And then more encouraging Bible news. Uzbekistan. Derek Maxwell, whom some of you will know, was in Uzbekistan just over a year ago, and he was visiting some of the churches there, underground churches. Uzbekistan is a very difficult land, not completely closed, but almost closed. And so they've got to be very careful. And the big problem, even for the church leaders, the leaders of the house churches, is they don't have an Uzbek Bible. They don't have a Bible. So they were pleading with Derek, you know, is there no way we can get Uzbek Bibles? Now, Derek couldn't tell them at that time. He wasn't in a position to tell them, because it had to be kept very secret, that 3,000 Uzbek Bibles, in fact, were in the process of printing. But you can't simply ship 3,000 Bibles out to Uzbekistan, because they'll be confiscated and destroyed. It's as simple as that. So they have to be filtered in little by little. And we know that at least half of that shipment is already in Uzbekistan. And God is already working. Because the lady here on the right of the right picture, the younger lady, is Luba. And she has her arm around her aunt, who was a school teacher, a retired school teacher. Luba is Uzbek. She is a worker with Bible Mission, our partner mission, in Kazakhstan and in Central Asia. And she had talked to her aunt and said, you know, there's a special book, the Bible, which talks about God. This is her aunt, of course, a Muslim. And the auntie was saying, well, when are you going to bring me a special book? When are you going to bring me this special book? And of course, Luba had no special book to bring her. She's reading in Russian. Luba can read in Russian and English and German and a few other things as well. But there was no Uzbek Bible. But eventually, just end of last year, she took her aunt an Uzbek Bible. And her aunt began to read. And within a few weeks of reading the Bible, her aunt was converted, brought to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Not only that, her daughter, Luba's cousin, also read. And she was converted as well. So that Bible has already begun to do its marvellous work in the hands of these people. And you know what's so wonderful? Just about 2 months ago, Luba's aunt died. But she died a believer. Isn't that amazing? And the Uzbek Bible, responsible, really. It's a dangerous book, the Bible, isn't it? You put it into the hands of people and they don't know what's going to happen. Praise the Lord, it does. It goes into people's minds in vain. So we're delighted about that. Now, it's not all good news. This is a very sad picture. In Belfast, near to Belfast, where I come from, there is an organisation called Every Home Crusade, and they produce literally millions of tracts and pieces of Christian literature every year. And much of it goes out to Central Asia. And they had prepared 5,000 gospel calendars with Bible verses on them, so people put them up in their homes and be able to read the Bible in their own language of Tajik. Again, a very difficult Central Asian language. But sadly, the shipment, when it was going in, it was going in with other humanitarian aid. The customs let the aid in, the humanitarian aid in, but they took the calendars and they burnt them. And they invited the evangelical leaders along to see them being burnt. In other words, a bit of a threat, if you like, implied in it. So sadly, that shipment didn't get in. But we had a young man called Gerhard Friesen. I'm not sure he was in Scotland, I think, at one time, maybe last year, but maybe not in the islands. But Gerhard is a young man who's got real burden for the gospel, and he works with Bible Mission as well. And his attitude to this was, well, he said, they may have destroyed 5,000 calendars, but if God wants to, he can get 50,000 calendars in. And of course, we believe that, you know. God's not set back by the evil deeds of men. But it just reminds us that it's not all easy. The work is still difficult in many places. And a country like Turkmenistan, for example, in Central Asia, is almost completely closed. There's no possibility of getting in there in terms of Christian witness and so forth. And even some of the Bible Mission workers who move around Central Asia have been expelled from Turkmenistan and not allowed to go in. So those are countries that you should pray for. Finally, I want to mention a new venture, and there's a little leaflet out on the table about this called To the Ends of the Earth. And if I were to ask you where the least evangelized parts of the world are today, I wonder where you would tell me. You'd probably point to some of the Muslim countries and so on, and you'd be right to do that. But one of the least evangelized is actually what we call Far East Russia. And this is Far East Russia. It's right away out, actually near to Japan. I like to ask, sometimes tease the boys and girls and ask them, how far is Russia and America apart? And start to count up, you know, and so on. But actually, Russia and America are only about 20 kilometres apart from Alaska across to the far east of Russia. And so to reach this country, the red area there is almost as big as the United States of America. So you've got to keep that in mind as I tell you a little bit more about it. Yakutia, one of the regions there, is the coldest place on earth. The city of Yakutia can get to minus 60 in the winter. So if you think you're cold here sometimes up in Lewis and Harris, well, just think about that. It's the place that if you don't put your car in at night, you've got to leave the engine running all the time because it would freeze up and never be able to start again. So they've got to either cover up their engines or else keep them running. So Yakutia. And not only that, but there are thousands of villages in that vast region which have no gospel light. In fact, virtually no religious light. Many of them are still animistic, like black magic and Brahmism and this kind of thing. And so, and the other thing is, there is no superstructure, no infrastructure in the country. Many communities have no roads. There's no telephone, no mobile phones, no internet, none of the usual means of communication. And so we have people, isolated people, living in isolated villages, and beyond the reach, normally, of our evangelistic methods. So how do we reach them? Well, the answer is by plane. And SGA, America, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and UK have all joined together in this joint project to try to get the gospel to one of the least evangelized parts of the world today, Far East Russia. And the idea is eventually to have 12 planes, which will work out from 12 population centres in this vast region and try to reach out to the villages that have no gospel light at all. In those 12 centres, there will be a pastor or a Christian leader who will preach God's word, who will disciple believers and so forth, and who will also be responsible for organising the schedule of outreach from his particular town or city. Our partners there are a group called Kingdom Air Corps in Alaska. It's a little bit like Missionary Aviation Fellowship. Some of you will know of MAF. Well, it's the same kind of idea, only this time operating from Alaska. And the planes are actually dismantled in Alaska. Don't ask me why this has to be done, but there's some political or economic reason for this. They have to be dismantled in Alaska, shipped across into Far East Russia and rebuilt there and so for use. Three of them are already in use and they are Christian pilots carrying pastors to various villages. This is Ivan and Rico, the two younger men. The older man in the middle is an experienced pilot who's been doing some training, and their families, and they've moved out there to do that. They, as I say, eventually we hope to have 12 planes in the air. And the SGA, on top of that, is already sponsoring 5 evangelists in 5 of these population centres. So we've undertaken the support, the financial support, of 5 of these Christian workers to try to encourage the spread of the gospel in this very needy area. This is Yakutia, and you can see there, if you count up the number of churches, I think there's 22 in Yakutia, there are 18 in Khabarovsk, there are a few in the other places. We're concentrating in those two big regions, first of all. But I think the number of believers in that massive region is a tiny, tiny percentage. Probably some of the mega churches in the United States, one mega church probably has more believers than there is in that whole region there. So it is a very needy cause, and we ask you to take it upon your heart and to pray. This is Avil, one of the men that we're sponsoring. He reaches out to 4 villages near the Chinese border, and his congregation has tripled since he went. There were 4 when he went there, there are now 12. So he's a very happy man. He believes God is blessing. But he and his wife, who's trying to develop a Sunday school work, he and his wife and children, they travel out to that part of the world in an old ladder car. Derek Maxwell had a ride in it. He said he was glad to get home again safely. But SGA has since sent him out the money to buy it's not a new car, new to him, but a much better, much more reliable car to help him in his ministry there. So in these ways, we are trying, with God's help, to push forward the work of the gospel. This is Pastor Benjamin, who's going to be one of the coordinators and pastors working in one of the major cities or towns. And he's a coordinator of the work. And this is what he says. He says, we must reach the unconverted with the gospel. And we must do it soon while the door is still open. Vladimir Putin has, in fact, passed laws about religion in Russia, which, if they were to be implemented in full, it would be more difficult to be a Christian in Russia now than during communist times. Now, the problem for Putin is that he lives in Moscow, which is 2 time zones from here. If you fly from here to Moscow, you fly through 2 time zones. If you want to fly to Far East Russia, you have to fly through 11 time zones. So Moscow is a long way from Far East Russia. And the door is still open out in these parts for the gospel and for gospel work to go on. And the Christian leaders there, a few that are there, saying to us, pray that God will help us to take this opportunity to keep pressing on with the gospel while the door is open and before it shuts again. I'll just leave you with a few prayer topics. That God will help the translators to complete the Kazakh Bible by the end of this year. Distribution will begin. That the Uzbek Bibles will all get safely into the country and be greatly used of God to bless believers and bring unbelievers to Christ. That God will bless the Reach Russia Now project, providing the means, protecting the missionaries, and building the Church of Jesus Christ in that vast area. And pray that SGA will be able to sponsor further missionaries in that region in the days to come. Well, I hope that has given you some encouragement. I look back and I look forward, and I hope it's given you some ammunition for prayer. And we do ask you to take some of these things home with you and really to bring them before the Lord. Just for a moment or two, I want to turn your attention to that passage of Scripture that was read to us this evening from Philippians. And it is a quite remarkable passage of Scripture, quite remarkable letter, really, because Paul is in prison at this point in time. As far as the human eye can see, his ministry has been brought to an end. Probably the greatest evangelist, apart from the Lord Jesus himself, who ever walked this earth. And his ministry had been brought to an end by his imprisonment. And yet, as was read to us here, he says in verse 12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Now, what on earth can he mean? Here's this man's invaluable ministry, and it's been brought to an end by his imprisonment. And yet he writes to the Philippians and he says to the Philippians, well, actually, what has happened is that it has caused further advance of the gospel. Now, was Paul getting old? Was he becoming a bit unhinged in his mind? How on earth, what was he thinking and how was he thinking? Well, he tells us here he actually explains to us in the following verses, just in fact how what the devil has been seeking to do and destroy, how God has turned it about and made it a means of advancing the gospel. And the first is this, in verse 13 he says this, so it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest, this is within the Caesar's palace, if you like, in Rome, that my imprisonment is for Christ. So here's a body of men, if you like, Caesar's crack troops, who probably in other circumstances would never hear the gospel. But here they are, and they're having to guard this man who says later on, for me to live as Christ and die as gain, who's burning with zeal for his Saviour. And so Paul has the opportunity to witness to these men. And they can't get away. They have to guard him. They're a captive audience. And Paul's sharing the gospel with them. So he gets an audience which he wouldn't normally have, even through his imprisonment. So that's the first thing. He gets to witness to people he normally wouldn't witness to. Secondly, it becomes a great example and an encouragement to the brothers. Verse 14, he says, most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And so they see Paul imprisoned but still speaking boldly for Christ. And he says, this has emboldened the brothers. You know, no longer are they fearful and timid. They see that God is upholding and protecting me. And so they're not fearful about speaking out and sharing the gospel as well. And isn't it true, you know, how we can be encouraged by others when we see their witness and their testimony bearing fruit. And so Paul says, here's another reason why the gospel is being advanced. Because the brothers now are also speaking out boldly. And then the third thing he says is this, and this is a difficult one. He says he rejoices in the fact that the gospel is being preached, although it's being preached by some out of envy and jealousy. Others are preaching it, of course, out of goodwill and so forth. But he says, some are preaching it, he says, from envy and rivalry. But he says, I rejoice because the gospel is being preached. Now, it's hard for us to imagine this, that people would preach the gospel in order to do Paul down, as it were. In order to hurt him, in order to make things worse for him. But Paul says, look, I don't care. He says, all I worry about is the fact that the gospel is being preached. And he said, I rejoice in that. And it's true, isn't it? That God can use the most strange things in order to advance the gospel. I was just thinking, I was reading last week again in the book of Ezra, in my personal reading, just how God took Cyrus, Persian king, a godless king. And he said, he's my instrument. And it was through Cyrus that he brought his people back from Babylon, from exile in Babylon, and gave them the resources to actually rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Oh, you know, we need to remember this. God is still on the throne. I wonder how you feel at times when you listen to the news, when you see what's happening around you. Sometimes I wonder, can the tide of evil ever be stopped? Can it ever be stopped? Well, of course it can. God hasn't abdicated. God's still on the throne. And what may seem to us to be dreadful trends in society, and they are dreadful trends in society, in the end of the day, God can take these and he can make them work for his good and glory and for the good of his people and his church. I was greatly encouraged last week, or the week before, I read on the internet. Most of the stuff you read on BBC and pages on the internet wouldn't do your soul much good. But there was one item which really cheered me up. 42,000 young people in Holland have written a petition to the government asking that prostitution be made illegal in their country. 42,000 young people have signed a petition and sent it to the government. And I thought to myself, well, God's still alive. And he's still on the throne. And he's still working in hearts. And we can trust him for that. So Paul rejoices that the gospel is preached. That's the third reason. And then the fourth reason is simply this. That he knows that Christ in the end will be glorified. He says here in verse 18, he says, I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honoured in my body, whether by life or by death. And dear friends, that's what counts, isn't it? It's the glory of Christ. It's the glory of Christ. And our lives are to be spent in serving him and in glorifying him. And Paul was determined, as he says himself here, for me to live as Christ, to die as gain. Whether I live or die, it would be for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thought about that little, Psalm 23, we read it so often, and it becomes almost automatic. But there's a little phrase in it, in the 23rd Psalm, and it says this, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And as God works in us and through us, it's for his glory and for the glory of Christ and for the sake of his name and his glory. So listen, dear friends, the gospel will triumph. The thing is this, we're on the winning side. I don't know whether some of you have maybe heard this illustration before. It's a true story, apparently, of a little boy or a boy, a young boy who was converted. And the man who had the joy of leading him to the Lord, he gave him a New Testament and told him that he should start to read the New Testament because this would help him to grow. And so he left it with the boy, and a few weeks later he met him and he said to him, well, he said, have you started to read your Bible? He says, I have. He says, what are you reading? He said, Revelation. Oh, the man said, the worst book perhaps to even start in, and so forth. He said, well, what have you learned in Revelation? And the wee boy said, we win. We win. They're tremendous, isn't it? And that we win. If you're not in Christ tonight, if you're still outside of Christ, do remember this, that there's a day coming when you'll have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, not as your Saviour, but as your judge. And you'll be on the losing side. And those of us who are believers tonight, even though we are hard pressed here in these days in which we live, one thing is absolutely sure, the victory is ours. Death has been defeated. We've been celebrating that recently. I have 18 grandchildren. I love them all. I was telling your minister's wife that the other day that I love them all. We have a little boy called Isaac, and I think he's going to be a preacher. His daddy's a preacher, but I think he's going to be a preacher too. Apparently at the Easter service, he's 4-year-old, and there's two of the wee 4-year-olds lying on the floor of the church, and they were talking, and they were saying to each other, they spat on him, and they pulled out his beard, and they beat him, and they cursed him. And then wee Isaac apparently jumped up. His father didn't see it. Somebody else told him and said, but Christ beat death. Jesus beat death, he said. So we've been listening to what he'd been hearing in church, and what they'd be doing. And Jesus beat death. We've been celebrating it. The victory's ours. We're on the winning side. And that should encourage us to go out into this world with this great gospel that we have. I have another grandson who's a great soccer player. He loves football. Loves the Lord first, mind you, but he also loves his football and his sport. And I said to him one day, his name's John as well, I said, John, tell me this. If I were to tell you today that you're going out to play this team and you're going to win 10-0, would you like to go out and play the match? Oh, I would. He said, I'd love to go, knowing that they were going to win. Well, we have won. In Christ, we have the victory. So that should give us the encouragement and the joy that we need to go out into this lost world and to share the gospel with those who still don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your interest and your prayers, and thank you for your encouragement. I just want to mention to you, I've mentioned this letter to the ends of the earth. There's a new book which is about Moldova, 25 Not Out. It's the story of 25 years of work in Moldova. Humanly speaking, it should never have got off the ground, but I had the joy of putting this together, and it was heartwarming reading the early reports and so forth of the work there. This one you've probably seen before, Out of the Depths. It was written, Testimonies of Folk in Central Asia. This one's £4, this one's £3, but no money today. If you want to take it with you and pass the money on to your church treasurer or someone, and they'll get it to us eventually. And just to mention to you too, if you don't already get Breakthrough Magazine, the recent Breakthrough Magazine is on the table. It's free of charge. Please do take it as well. We're going to close by singing, and I've forgotten our song. It's
1116.
1116. We're going to close with this, and then here we are. There's a higher throne, and we've been thinking about that, haven't we? That higher throne in which our Lord sits sovereign. That all this world is known, where faithful ones from every tongue will one day come, before the Son will stand, made faultless through the Lamb. Believing hearts find promised grace, salvation.